Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is Children's Day, so I want to preach a message entitled God Calls Little Children. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to preach and for the kindness you show me and my wife, and we thoroughly appreciate it. That doesn't happen everywhere, but I'm thankful it happens here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Have you ever had a child do you like that when you're trying to get a good night's rest? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. That's important to realize. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." This was an occasion where Samuel was living there with the high priest, whose name was Eli. Eli had not done a very good job with his children, by the way. He was too passive with them. But he was a good man and loved God. And so this is a time when the child, Samuel, and I do believe he was a very young child, was there serving at the tabernacle at Shiloh. A little house was built in addition to the tabernacle, and that's where they were living. But Samuel kept hearing the voice of God. But Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and Samuel did not understand what was going on. Keep in mind, he was a child, and he just did not understand. Can I remind you that maybe if you can see it this way, that a child is like a seed? You take an old crusty seed that's been around a while, and it doesn't look like it's going to produce much, but you take that seed out and bury it in the ground, and it'll sprout, it'll open up, it'll break and come. Why? Because the germ is inside of it that makes life. And I think a child is born very much like that. A child has that, if you want to call it, a spark of the seed of life in his bosom when that child is born. I believe this, that just as a seed is exposed to the sun and the rain and all of that, and it breaks open and grows, so if you take a child and expose that child to the things of God, that child is going to respond. And somewhere, somehow, along the way, probably come to the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. It's going to happen. That's why it's important to keep them in church. Keep them in Sunday school. Keep them under the sound of the Word of God and all of that. and they'll hear about Jesus. And in the Christian home, he ought to be taught about it. There should be time taken to do that. And a little child, when they're exposed to all of that, that little child in that Christian home will be unsettled one day. And they might come up and say, "Mom, with quivering lips, I want to know about Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be born again." I mean, a little girl, a little boy. And they come because God is speaking to them. God deals with them. They may not understand, but God is dealing with them, and they're becoming sensitive. And we have to realize that. God deals with little children. I thank God for the bus ministry. Excuse me while I get this water. Brother Barchu has done a fantastic job. You've heard already about that. Dr. Barber and his vision starting the bus ministry here. And then Brother Barchu being faithful. I thank God, Brother Barchu, that you were faithful. I worked with him. He was easy to work with. And his wife supported him and his family. And he's done a marvelous job in getting honest to God. Scores and scores of children have been saved. He's got them to the Lord Jesus Christ through being faithful in that ministry, in the bus ministry. And little children will respond if you get them under the sound of the gospel. Just get them there so they can hear about Jesus Christ. I remember about a little girl in our church when I was pastoring in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And we ran 9 buses there at that church. And this little girl got saved one Sunday. She rode the bus in. And the little girl, one of the workers, and thank God for those who teach Sunday school. Amen. Thank God for those who take time to do that, and our children's church workers and all who do that. Well, this little girl had been presented the gospel, and God spoke to her heart just like he did to Samuel. And she was in tears, and she sobbed and told about getting saved. And I was so glad and so thrilled. That's just one occasion. The little girl went home and told her daddy and her mother. Can you believe this? Her daddy got angry, called the church, and reamed out the bus man when he got his number. And then he reamed me out too. Said, "What are you doing playing with the mind of our little girl? She came home, she's weeping, she's disturbed, all of this is going on." And I said, "Sir," and I explained to him what had happened. And I explained to him that she was just being sensitive to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to her. And that she got saved, and I was glad. I thought he would be, but he wasn't. He wasn't too glad, and he wouldn't let her come back to church. But that doesn't change the fact that, bless God, she got saved. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Eli here was able to see that God was dealing with Samuel. Thank God that he became sensitive to that. And after the third time, Eli said, "I know what's happening. God's dealing with Samuel. God's speaking to him." And he said, "You go back and say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" I think probably involved in those words was his conversion. When he admitted that he was the Lord, and he turned to him and spoke to the Lord and was sensitive to that. And so we want to look at 3 things today. God caused little children to faith in him. And then God caused little children to special service for him. And then God caused little children to be with him in heaven. I'm glad God caused little children to faith. Little children can be saved. My wife had an uncle, and I married into that family, and we called him Uncle Noel. Uncle Noel was sort of a unique character. Some of you who've lived long enough may have seen him on television. He had midgets that were wrestlers. I mean, tough little midgets that were wrestlers. And he took them around the country, and he made a good living at doing that. So Uncle Noel, I witnessed to Uncle Noel. He was from the Primitive Baptist, the hard-shelled Baptist. You know how they are in Virginia, Dr. Barber. The hard-shelled Baptist, and they believe that that you cannot be saved if you're a child. That you have to have some vision, some glorious, fiery vision or something later on when you're an adult. And then you go to the church and say, "I had a vision. I dreamed my little girl was up in the cemetery and she wanted me to come on up there and come to heaven. Some vision like that. And then they equate that with salvation. Well, friend, that's not salvation. And that's not what the Bible says about it. We are saved one way, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and this is Old Testament, it's the same application, when you're bit by the serpent, which is a type of being bit by Satan and sin, he said, what do you do? He said, you do what? Look and live. Is that complicated? That you look and live? It's not complicated. And little children can look and live and be saved. It doesn't matter if you're a child, an old man, or an old woman, or a youth, or whoever you may be. If you'll look and trust Christ, then thank God you can live. You can live. By the way, most children get saved when they're little. Most people get saved when they're little children. And let me prove it to you right now, all right? How many of you got saved before or after you were 12 years of age and below? How many of you got saved? Raise your hand. Raise them up real high. Now, I want everybody to look to your left, look to your right. And I would say 80% of this crowd right here got saved when they were 12 or below. And I'm telling you, that tells us that we must reach our children and be sensitive to our children. And they get converted. By the way, please don't ever stand. Don't ever stand in the way of one of your children who is inquisitive about God and inquisitive about the Lord. And they say, I want to be saved. I'm thinking about Jesus. Tell me about it. Be sensitive to that. Don't ever refuse. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is speaking to them. God works in their lives. Pursue it. That's a move of theirs toward God. They don't have to understand everything about baptism and the Lord's Supper. That can come in time, but they get saved, thank God. And that's what we want to see. And if they are sensitive in a church service, after a while we'll give an invitation. If your little girl, little boy pulls, tugs on your coat or reaches over mama and pulls on your sleeve and says, I want to be saved, don't you say no. And don't you say you got to wait till you're 12 years of age. You just say, I'll go down with you and let's go. Come down and meet the pastor or somebody. Lead them to the Lord and let them get saved. Don't ever refuse a little child. God will take care of all of that. And I was saved as a child. 9 years of age at a little country church in northeast Louisiana on a Sunday night in a revival meeting. And I was just sitting, somehow or another, mom was sick at home and I got away from daddy that night. And I sat with my best buddy five rows back, and the preacher was preaching, and oh my, he was a guest preacher in a revival, and he preached about Jesus and heaven and hell. And when the invitation came, I couldn't wait to hit that aisle and go up and accept Christ as my Savior. I think my daddy was surprised when he saw me up there, when he saw me coming. But I accepted the Lord. Here's another thing. Not only does God deal with little children and bring them to salvation, we need to be sensitive to that. God calls little children to special service for him. God calls little children to special service. Samuel was called to be a prophet. In chapter 3, in our text, in verse 20, I think he was still a child here. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. He was called at an early age and established to be a prophet of the Lord. And he was a prophet and also a priest. And I know that all who are called must face the fact that God is the one who is calling them. And they have to recognize that God does the calling. I was called to preach, and like so many children, so many young people, at 13 years of age. I'm not going to tell you where I was. Some of you have heard that story before, but if you want to know, I'll tell you in private. But anyway, I got called to preach in a most unusual type situation, but I knew that night that God was speaking to me and that I yielded my heart to Jesus and that he was calling me into the ministry. As I said in the early service, I sort of thought he made a mistake, but here I am. So that's take it up with God. Anyway, I'm glad he called me into the ministry. But I have to admit this. Any calling into the ministry is a limited ministry. And I'm leading this to a point. Any call in the ministry is a limited ministry that I wanted to mention. David had a great calling, didn't he? In Acts 13:36, the Bible says, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep." That means he died, folks. "And was laid unto his fathers, and he saw corruption." He's telling us that David died. David was a great man of God, but that ministry was limited. And so it is with pastors. It's hard for pastors to accept when the time comes, it's time to resign and not be a pastor. That was hard. That's very hard. It's hard for Brother Bartu to give this up as a full-time minister. But that's a difficult time. You miss doing weddings. Well, maybe not so much weddings, but you miss. Everybody has an opinion at weddings. But anyway, you miss weddings. You miss funerals. You miss making hospital calls. You miss counseling. You miss studying for preaching every week and maybe doing a series and all of those things that are involved in it, a lot of different things. You still want to serve God and preach, but you miss the challenge of building a church and all of that goes with it. But like David, we all grow old and die. I was telling you earlier in the early service, telling them that out in the hall, the picture of three handsome men is on that wall there. Sir, two out of three is not bad, he said. I'm not going to say who the other one was. But at any rate, a little girl was out in the hall one day. She said, "Is that you up there?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." She said, "It sure doesn't look like you anymore." Like that. And I said, "Oh, well, wonderful, wonderful. God can keep you humble through little children, you know." And I told the pastor, "You're going to get old one of these days. And by the way, it's going to happen real quick. You won't believe how quick it is. Just think how old your children are already. You got a teenager now. You'll have gray hair in a year. But at any rate, that red will be dissipating. But be good to us because you're going to reap what you sow." And by the way, he is good to us. He is good to us. And thank God for that. Yeah, give him a hand. He's good to us. And that's not the way it is everywhere. Dr. Barber and I can vouch for that. You know that. But God calls. Paul referred to himself as Paul the aged. Philemon 1:9, 2 Timothy 4:6. "For I am now ready," Paul said, "to be offered. In the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And so Paul, the great Paul, his ministry came to an end. In Westminster Abbey, there's a plaque that honors John Wesley, and there are five sayings that John Wesley left. They left on that plaque that he was famous for saying. And one of these was this one: "God buries his workmen, but God carries on his work." Nobody is irreplaceable. God buries his workmen, but God carries on his work. You see, Spurgeon is gone. Moody's gone. J. Frank Norris, one of the great leaders, probably the greatest leader of fundamentalism in his day, in this country and around the world, he's gone. And Jerry Falwell Sr., not Junior, I want to be sure that I'm clear on that. Junior messed up, but Jerry Falwell Sr. was a great man of God, and he's gone. Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite preachers beside Dr. Barber, and Adrian Rogers he's gone. Great preacher. Great preacher. You see, somebody's got to take our place. And unless God calls, and you parents and others make it something that is not less than the world says, except God calls some more and gets them in the ministry, we're probably about one generation from total hedonism. We need some young men that get called. And parents, you don't need to worry about how much money they're going to make, how prestigious their job's going to be. If God lays his hand on them and calls them, then thank God for it. And encourage them in every way you can. And God will do it. That's a compliment to a church. A church like our great church, when God calls preachers, missionaries, and evangelists out of our people to go and serve the Lord full time. What a compliment. And almost always, just like being saved, almost always that comes in the days of tender childhood. So parents, pay attention. Listen to your children. And there have been times in national fellowship meetings where preachers have asked, how many of you were called into full-time service at a young age? And the majority of them raised their hand and said, "I was when I was a child or in a young age or at a Christian camp or somewhere like that, that God called me." God calls children to special service. I can tell you some sad stories if you don't listen to God's call. I have heard missionaries testify, or those who had been called in the mission field, get up and testify and say, "I was called, but I didn't go. And I've paid a high price over these years. It hasn't been nice. It hasn't been great. And I'm so sorry." And I've heard them stand and say, if God calls you, don't back down on your call. Do what God tells you to do. I had a relative of mine, a cousin, and God called him to preach. And he came out to the old Bible Baptist Seminary, Dr. Barber, and he stayed one semester. But he was making a lot of money when he went out there, and I guess he just couldn't stay away from that. He knew he'd have to sacrifice a lot. He had a great, large, well-known, people would know he had a great gun collection. This man did not fulfill the call of God on his life. He got very wealthy. It was a case where she had a brand new Cadillac. He had a brand new Cadillac. They lived in the Lubbock area in West Texas, and they were making money hand over fist. And they had two boys that were great athletes. I mean, they were all-star athletes. And one of those boys was looking at his dad's gun collection, and the gun went off, and he killed his brother. And then he still didn't surrender to preach. This is his testimony. I'm not talking about somebody without having heard them say similar things. And they were out one Sunday. Instead of being in church, they were out one Sunday with a boat, and his beautiful, precious little girl was swimming, and she drowned on that Sunday. He surrendered to preach then. But look at the price that was paid. And then he didn't live but just a few years and had a massive heart attack. Wouldn't it have been better had he surrendered to God and not done what he wanted to do? I'm telling you, it's a serious thing when God calls you. And parents, please do not downgrade the calling of your children. If God's called them to be a missionary, a pastor, or an evangelist, you thank God for it and be proud of it in the right sense and support them every way you can. And then thirdly, this may seem morbid, but it really isn't. It really isn't when you think about it. God calls little children to heaven. God calls little children to heaven. Mark 10:14, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them," see, the apostles said, "You children, get away. You're bothering Jesus. He didn't have time for you." And he said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not." Now notice what he said. "For of such," what? "For little children, for of such is the kingdom of God." Amen. By the way, there will be, I believe, children in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says so. Zechariah 8:5 is a prophecy about that. "And the streets of the city shall be full of," the only time is two times the word boys is used in the Bible. This is one of them. "And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof." Girls and boys playing in the streets. Now, we can't let them do that now, but up there in the millennium, or in the millennial reign of Christ on earth, they'll be able to play. Won't be any problem. And we won't have to watch them all the time. Isaiah 11:6, the wolf shall also shall dwell with the lamb. That'll be unique. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. I'm not sure what the fatling is, but anyway. And a little child shall do what? Lead them. A little child, millennial. In that time period, a little child will be there. That's going to be a, I think that's going to make the millennium a whole lot more wonderful. Little children will come through the tribulation, be born. They won't die. Their parents won't. They'll go into the millennial reign. And then they will have offspring. There'll be little children in the millennial reign. That's why the devil will have to be loosed a little season at the end of that, so they'll make up their mind about Jesus or not. But at any rate, and by the way, it's not environment that makes a difference. Ask Adam and Eve. But that decision has to be made by them sometimes. And sometimes God transplants a little one from this world to a world yet to come. Now that's always sad to us when that happens. I tell you today that little children, before they come to the age of accountability, are saved. They're okay. They go to be with Jesus. It may be a miscarriage. It may be that they die real young. I have held two little babies in my arms. Look like little dolls. Just tiny babies, twins, that were born. And they used a sock, a little sock, and put it on the head. That was their head. And we were at the hospital in Cincinnati, about 60 miles from where I pastored. And they called the dad back. And I wondered, well, what's going to happen to the little children? And he brought those little children back. They were dead. They had passed away. He had them in his arms, and I got to hold them a little bit, and we talked a little bit about it. That was a very sad occasion. They named them little Bible names, and then we buried them, had a service out in the country, and buried them. I remember a dear friend who was a banker there in Connersville. He was not a member of my church. He was a member of a sister church across town. And believe it or not, he could get along with us in our church. And I got along with him. And he would come on Sunday morning, and I would see him. I would go in early, and sometimes I'd see him. He's out on our parking lot praying for our services that God would bless, and then he would go and pray for his service and serve over there. Wasn't long until the little baby died. They had a little baby. They had a couple of other children. The little baby died. We went to the service, and there they had that little casket. And Daddy brought that little casket down the aisle, as they do when someone has passed away, an adult, and went to the back. But you know what? That baby was in heaven already. Now, I don't know. I can't prove it or disprove it. And if you can, talk to me. But I believe somehow their spirits, when they go to heaven, that there may be little children in a spiritual body up there in heaven. I can't prove that. But I do know that there's a spiritual body, because at the transfiguration, you remember that, Elijah and Moses, and they recognized them. Jesus did. And the three apostles said, "This is Elijah and Moses. Let's build three tabernacles." So I don't know all that goes on up there, but I promise you it's good. And it might be, it could be maybe, that there are some little children, their spirits, their glorified spirits up there in heaven. That'd make heaven real wonderful besides all the other good things with it. But that is just simply a possibility or a theory that I have. I can't explain it. But I can tell you this, when little children die, God uses that for his glory. God uses that for his glory. And the little children are saved. They are with Jesus. Thank God we'll see them again. Many of you out here have lost little children. I know. You'll see them again. Won't that be a great day? And there are also some who mentally are not able to grasp how to be saved and sin and all of that. I visited a home one time, and there were two children in their early 20s, still in diapers. Still in diapers, in little cribs. I felt for that dear lady, and she had to feed them and take care of them. They didn't hardly know what was going on. And I have an idea that they've already passed away, and I believe they went straight into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God takes care of that, and God is a God of mercy. So here's my appeal to you today. If you're here without Christ, come and be saved. You see, he said, except you come as a little child, you cannot enter the gates of heaven. You got to have the attitude of a little child. What's that? Don't you just love little children? They're so trustworthy, and they're humble, most of them, and they're sweet little kids most of the time, and they're just precious little children. And they just humble themselves. The pride goes out the window. They don't care. Those little children are not worried about all that stuff. Jesus said, if you'll come like a little child, simple faith. Do what? Look and live. Look at what? Baptism? No. Church membership? No. Your good works? No. Look at what? The cross. Amen. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Look, trust him, know he paid your sin debt, and you can come today and be saved. Come like a little child. And if you're here and you're a young child and you haven't been saved, and we have children's church, and that's all right. I sort of like the old time way, Dr. Barber, when the parents and the families all sit in the auditorium together. But I understand with the bus ministry and all of that, and that's up to the parents. I'm not going to have an issue with you over that. But I love to see families sit together in church. And you say, well, they can't get it out of church. I was in church all my life. I was drugged when I was young, drugged to church all the time. And I was in church. And I learned a lot when that preacher preached. And God used it. God used it. And I was not ignorant to the word of God. I heard the preacher preach. And I got saved at 9 years of age. But if a little child is here, please don't hold them back. If they say, I want to be saved, I want to do what the preacher's saying, I want to do what the pastor says one day, and bring them to him, bring them to the Lord, and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if God's calling you into full-time service, here's what happens to some people. They get called into full-time service when they're a child, and then the devil really gives them a hard time about it. And later on, they say, well, I don't know. There's a lot of money out there. I want a big house, and I want this. I want the fancy car. I want the prestige and all of that. And sometimes the mothers and daddies say, well, I'd rather you were a lawyer or a doctor or whatever, that kind of stuff. I'd rather you got your university degree. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But sometimes they don't encourage their children. If they sense that God's called them in the ministry, that's not a good thing to do. Back them up, because it's important. And then sometimes they get away from it. If God's called you, young person or young adult, to serve him full time, don't get away from it. I almost did that. I was graduated from high school. I knew God had called me to preach at age 13, as I said. I graduated from high school. And my best buddy, Doyle Rogers, said, let's go up to Alaska, make big money. He had two brother-in-laws who were big shots up there. He said, we got a job. All we got to do is go. Let's buy us a Corvette. Boy, that sounded good to me. You know, you remember the TV program, Cookie, Cookie, Lend Me Your Comb? No, you young people wouldn't have the foggiest idea. You old guys just would. But anyway, that's what he got me talked into that thing. And then I told my mother, I said, I'm not going to go to Bible college, I don't think, right now. She began to cry, and I felt terrible about it. But I just was stubborn about it. And I was going to go in the wrong direction. I worked at a Gulf station, gasoline. And back then, you pumped it, and you cleaned the windshield, and did all of that. Bring back those days, that'd be all right with me. But we did that. I went out in a station wagon and pulled up two women in the front and a child and then a bunch of children in the back. She said, my car's running hot. And she said, could you check it? And I said, sure. She popped the hood and I went up and I took the radiator cap and turned it one notch. The only problem is that's supposed to be the first notch. This was the second notch Somebody had jammed it on there, and that's why the water went out, and that's why the car got hot. But that's what God wanted to happen to me that day. It exploded on my face, burned my face all over. Immediately. Now, you'd never know that as handsome as I am today, but immediately, God said, you're going to go to college? You're going to go to Bible school or what? What are you going to do? And he was speaking to my heart. My dear old daddy came and got me in his car, drove me to the clinic. They put old green salve all over my face, took me home, put me in bed. And after a while, I was thinking about it, and I said, Daddy. He didn't come. And I called him again, Daddy. And he came, stood at the door, and he said, yeah, what is it, son? I said, I believe I'll go to Bible college. He said, I've been praying. Turned around and walked away. He just walked out. That's the way he prayed. He just walked out. But I thank God a million times over that I didn't get away from that. And I'm saying that to encourage you. If you've surrendered your life for full-time service, don't you dare back out of it. It'll be the biggest mistake of your life. And maybe today some who have been considering that need to make a renewal to their commitment to do that. Maybe a family coming today to unite with the church. Maybe somebody coming for baptism. Let's stand and pray. Father, we're so glad that you love little children. Jesus was you in the flesh. And we know, God, you love little children. We know it through Jesus. Now, I pray if there's a little child here today that needs to be saved, and maybe over yonder in Children's Church this day, on Children's Day, that they'd come and be gloriously saved. I pray that parents would encourage them, and that through them we might reach some parents who would come into the kingdom through the bus ministry in other ways, as so many have. And Lord, if there's an adult here, it doesn't matter what age, help them to come like a little child and humble themselves and receive Christ as their Savior. Speak to our hearts, whether it be about baptism, church membership, whatever it may be. Maybe just to thank you and praise you for the good things we have through Christ. And maybe to rededicate our lives in some measure, in some way. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.